When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Maya Ducky, Charlotte Collins, and Nicola Elliott, founder of wellbeing brand Neon. Welcome, Nicola.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Let's start off today with what anyone has been up to. Charlotte, you started your day in rather interesting fashion.
I went to a circumcision this morning. It was one of my best friend's sisters just had a baby boy. And it was I've been to one when I was like...
So it's a bit of a tenuous link. Sorry, best friend's...
Yeah, but my sister's... best friend's sister's baby.
Okay.
And she lives in Israel, so she came over for it as well. So I suppose that was like a nice thing. But as I said to you earlier, there were loads
a
of
nice
people,
thing.
You know, like a family thing.
But it's not just nearest and dearest. I mean, no, this is the guy having the skin cut off Willy. He's a little boy.
8 days old.
A bit private.
He's 8 days old. Well, I think this one's a little bit older because there were slight complications, but typically it's done after 8 days. But yeah, I mean, there were like 150 people there. It was a synagogue. It was like a big...
All
big,
elbowing each other out of the way.
Yeah, everyone was like with their phones. Really strange. But then they have a big breakfast and there's, you know, like baby boy themed cupcakes. Crucially, what they do, aside from the actual snip, is they name the baby. So in Judaism, you can't give a baby a name until after, well, as a girl, after it has like a baby naming ceremony, and as a boy, until it's circumcised.
Oh, okay. So even, in Islam, you have a baby naming ceremony as well.
I think so, maybe. I mean, they're so similar. So even like the grandparents.
What's so similar?
Judaism and Islam, in traditional sense, like in that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me if they had similar rituals like that. So even like the siblings of the mother or like the grandparents, nobody knew the name until this morning. So that's
so what is it?
Jacob Scott.
Very Jewish. Jacob Scott, not so.
Yeah, Scott is the maiden name of the mother.
Okay.
Grandmother.
Who isn't Jewish? Because doesn't it go with the mother's line?
Yeah. You are Jewish if your mother is Jewish. But in this circumstance, everybody's Jewish.
They're all Jewish. Hence the public circumcision.
Very public.
Fascinating. Well, lots of the boys and men in my family were circumcised. I'm not Jewish. But it used to be a real thing. I remember my father saying to me, so, when's also going to be circumcised? And I was like, times have changed, actually. And
a real
not
thing on the
be.
Basis of what?
I will say is, it's a bit of a English class thing,
The
royal family are all circumcised. And when my father made this comment, I was a bit taken aback. So anyway, we went on to Google, and we're Googling circumcision, and there's very interesting, shall we just say, it's worth a read if you're bored on the train. But
I said I wasn't into Instagram, didn't I? So maybe I would not search Instagram.
You can learn all about circumcision.
This is the news.
Stepdad has a friend. One of them's circumcised, one of them's not. And one is their name is the Roundheads, and the others is the Cavaliers. So that's quite a lot of them. It used to be a real thing. As I said, thankfully, lots of these things, times have changed. But anyway.
Wow,
so a new topic to learn about. What else has anyone been up to, Maya?
This weekend I went to Bath, actually on Hendu. One of my closest friends is getting married in a couple of months.
Lovely Bath.
Yeah, it was
Bath.
Really good weekend. I love Bath. I was actually born there.
Were you?
Yeah, Bath Royal Hospital. We rented an Airbnb, massive Bath townhouse right in the town centre.
Oh, lovely, because the architecture in Bath is just so stunning, isn't it? It's such sort of Jane Austen territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
I went to Copenhagen.
Did you?
Yeah, cool.
I just don't want to talk about it in this podcast, you know.
It was lovely. It was my friend's 40th, and she's kind of really into Scandi kind of interiors, that sort of thing. So she wanted to go somewhere different. The only pain is for me, because we are based in the north and Neon, I have to go from Manchester, so everything is a bit of a pain, isn't it? But that's one side, and it's pretty expensive, but that's one side. It is nice. And we got on those kind of their version of a tuk-tuk type thing to do, really, you know, 24 hours, the best sightseeing that we could do. And we
take the box and then you can
exactly. We saw 10 things in a tuk-tuk and to the Tivoli Gardens, which is really nice.
Actually,
if you want to do a sort of stylish Disneyland, possibly at Christmas, that you and the children would like, Tivoli, I would highly recommend, because it's kind of, it is a bijou, cool Disneyland. And I hear from friends, we obviously it was summer, it was nice weather and there's picnics, etc. But I hear from friends at Christmas, if you can go for sort of a couple of days, and it's, you know, it's an hour and a bit on a plane, it's not even an hour and a half, it's a fantastic thing to do with children without having to do the whole you know, crazy cute.
Good thing. Tip. Ooh. I'm going to remember that. Thanks, Nicola. So you recommend Copenhagen, do you, as a weekend trip away?
If you can take the sort of, you know, it is pricey, but there's a great bar called Ruby. I have a good tip for you. It looks like nothing, you know, one of these adore, but down a kind of cool sort of, you know.
Ooh, a bit of a speakeasy, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Did you have amazing food? It's got like the highest concentration of Michelin star restaurants.
Yes, it has. And we had nice food. Is
it?
So it's, yeah, it has. The food was lovely, but it wasn't as, the restaurants aren't as wowy as they are in London.
Okay.
So if you go, you know, it's kind of packed down.
Not
and
showy.
It's white trainers,
yeah,
and, you know, a bit of khaki top, and it's not showy, but actually the food's great.
That's the dream.
So, which is nice. So just go thinking that. But Ruby was my other tip. And Ilum is a really great store there as well.
I would never think of Copenhagen. I would think of Bath as somewhere to go. I think Bath is such a nice weekend away and a really nice civilised place to go for a hen, I imagine.
Yeah, but surprisingly, every other woman and their dog thinks that too.
Oh, really? Fantastic.
Literally every bar you go to, there's probably about 5 hen bookings there.
Really?
It was madness, yeah. Oh. But kind of like added to it because everyone was just up for a real laugh.
What about you, Charlotte? What did you do this weekend?
Well, I went on Friday. I was up in Liverpool at the British Style Collective, which is the newly rebranded clothes show live. It's moved. It's no longer.
What's it called? Sorry.
British Style Collective. So they've done away with the clothes show, and this is what they're doing instead now. And they basically took over the whole of Liverpool, like the arena and all these other beautiful buildings. And I sat on a panel and talked about all things fashion and social media. So that was really fun. Really good experience. And then I went straight to Mallorca for the weekend. Quite a bit of sunshine in as well.
Lovely. Well, I feel like I've done nothing fun at all. I've been interviewing nannies, which I don't recommend as a way to spend your weekend. Because there are no live-in nannies available in London. They are like 10 a penny, and you're not interviewing them, they're interviewing you.
Really?
And it's quite terrifying. And after the first one, I was kind of chatting to my husband about the kind of questions I asked, and he's like, do you think you're a bit tough? And I was like, well, I need to interview people who want a job. You know, does she want a job or not? So after that, I had to kind of send her the messages. Anyway, the one I liked just accepted the job.
Yay!
I've got a new nanny, but it's quite a big deal. I mean, I've got a 7-month-old. It's quite a big deal changing nannies.
Do you have to have your sort of set questions? And my sister goes into these things really, really organised. I'd be a bit like, she seems like a laugh.
I'm with you, and I just think you want to get on with them because we have a live-in, which I love, because I find it, when your life is as manic as mine, I actually find it really liberating having someone. I used to not. For 5 years, I didn't have a live-in, and I spent my entire time like literally running to get home. So I actually really like having a live-in. So I think the most important thing is just to get on with them and feel like you're going to have a good relationship. And
yeah, they're in your home, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think I'm quite lucky that mine are a bit older now. So I'm coming out of the moment.
Yeah, you say yours are what, 7 and 9?
Mine are 7 and 9, yeah. Although my husband did say, you don't want another, do you? Because I'm 40 this Christmas, and I was like, I'm totally over it.
Are you?
No, yeah, totally. I don't know why more people don't do have one child. This is my new thing for friends who have one child.
Really?
Yes.
Because really consider,
would you want to never get on with their siblings?
Well, this is true. Mine, by 8 o'clock this morning, I got back from the gym. My nanny was like, just so you know, the TV's banned. I was like, yes, it's 8 o'clock. How have we banned the TV? Already, yes. Like they've been fighting since 7:15.
They fight, and of course, when you have the second, then it seems really mean for you to say that because I wouldn't be without my daughter now. But I've got a few friends who did it a bit later and had one, and now they're saying, oh, should I have a second? And I'm like, no, it will be amazing with one. You've got one, they're nice, you like them, they're well behaved.
Also, you have a very different. Well, I'm technically only child, but my parents are divorced, remarried, lots more children. But I did meet someone, there are lots of only children in the world. But I had a conversation with this woman, she said, I have a really unique relationship with my parents because we're kind of at 3, and from a very young age, I had this really privileged grown up kind of relationship with them that lots of others didn't have.
Yeah.
The only thing is, she did say, and I've got a friend who both of her parents are dead, died within a month of each other when she was pretty young, and I mean in her 20s, but you know, that's a lot. If you've got one or a parent that's really ill, like when my granny was ill and my mum is one of four and they all took it in turns, I kind of think,
yeah,
when you think after that bit,
there's pros,
you need
carers.
I'm a carer.
Yes, exactly.
My dad's technically only child, has got a brother who's 17 years older, and his mum's, she's 96, and it like sole responsibility, like, and always has been. His dad died when he was 12, so literally his whole life has been about, you know, being there for her. It is quite a lot for one person.
I also something about family that's just so, my parents got divorced when I was 10 months old, and I've got all these wonderful halves who I'm very close to, and I'm so lucky to have them, and I love them all to bits, but I've never quite felt as part of it as they feel with each other.
Yeah,
I've always been
sure.
really afraid what they've got.
Yeah, but still no children for me.
No more children for me.
Keep the ones you've got.
The two I've got, I will keep, exactly.
Well, it's
that,
good. Yeah. I always look, because I've got, my third is 7 months old, so I've got like a 4 and 6 year age gap. And I did always look at these people that had two, and I've got lots of friends who've had two, and then I'm done. And I kind of wished I had that closure, because it would make life so much more easy. But then we now look at Mimi, and we're like, we nearly didn't have you. But then, as my husband always says, I can't believe we nearly didn't have her. If she was our 10th tent, we'd still
feel like that. Yeah,
like you'd love to. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, from what I've heard, you love all your children.
Exactly. On a similar note of what we've been up to, we ran a piece on the London Bar Awards, and there were various bars in there that won Bar of the Year, Bar Termini, Best Bar Design, Most Creative Drinks, Peg and Patriot, no surprises there, Best Bar Team. Anyway, Dandelion was in it, and I just wanted to mention Dandelion because Dandelion is at the Mondrian. I just think the Mondrian is a really great hotel. Do you know the Mondrian, Nicola?
I do, actually. My husband has stayed here the last few times when he's come down, and he's told me good things about
the Mondrian.
Yes,
I just think it's and such
bar.
Yes,
I have not been, so I'm hearing secondhand, and he is a bar connoisseur, so.
Well, I think next time he comes to the Mondrian, you need to go with him.
Yes,
because we went there for my husband's birthday a year ago and just had the best time.
Really,
it's really cool and new, and it's got great design. And the Dandelion, you've probably seen pictures, it's that kind of pink velvet rose gold Tom Dixon designed bar, and then you can have dinner in the sort of sea containers because it's the old sea containers, the hotel. There's a restaurant called the Sea Containers, I think it is. And then they have the Rumpus Room at the top, which kind of turns into a bit of a party, and they have some really cool DJs up there. And I just love a hotel where you can go and that's your night out.
I agree.
You have to think about going anyway. It's a bit like the Sanderson, or you know, one of those, or Yard,
it's really like New York-y, like that's why I like it. Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention the Dandelion because I think it's a great bar and incredible views of London. And yeah, I think you need to.
I like the concept of having a night in one.
So do I. No taxis, no fucking around.
Definitely. And you've made your choice and you're sticking with it because you do this thing, don't you, where you sort of hop around.
Yeah.
And the restaurant was good, but the bar wasn't that good, and then it was a nightmare to get into the next place. And actually,
or we couldn't get a good table. But when you're a resident, you're a priority as well to the hotel. So there's no, you can't get in here or whatever.
Totally.
And we actually went up to the Rumpus Room, and friends who weren't staying came and joined us. Anyway, we had a wicked night, so I'd really recommend it. Are you an Ibiza person?
I'm an Ibiza person.
Oh, I can join in
on this. I'm going in 2 weeks, actually.
Oh, I'm going for the first time this year.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah. You'll love it.
I'm a Mallorca person, obviously.
I am a Mallorca person.
And so we're doing a Mallorca combo.
Oh, you'll love it.
So I've never been, so I'm really excited to hear everyone.
It's a good one. Are you doing Ibiza first and then Mallorca second?
Yeah,
that's the way. That's the way.
Well, I got back, 9 days ago. We're still this friend that we went with. She made a little video of our trip. My husband was like, I watched the video again. I was like, I know, it's over. But I have just persuaded him to do his 40th there next year.
Amazing.
We did my husband's 40th there last year.
Did you?
We did.
I'm happy to hear that. Tell me, was it a big success?
Of course it was. Yes, it was a big success. It was. And we went with our old uni kind of crew. Because you know how, sort of, for 40th, I've got mine coming up. And it's sort of difficult because you've kind of collected all these different friends. It is with any party, isn't it? You've collected all these different groups of friends. So we thought we're going to narrow it down to sort of our tight old uni crew. And we went out and we did a real good mix of things. You've got to, I think, if you're doing a weekend away like that, put some planning into it.
Completely. Ours was literally, I'm not joking. I mean, we went first weekend of July, but we were lunch, dinner, and then where we were going after dinner.
Yeah.
And we had a driver. And I actually just gave her details. I say driver, that sounds so smart, but I mean, equivalent to, there were 8 of us. She has these Mercedes vans. But I mean, we walked out of Destino at midnight. We walked out of Pasha at whatever time
of
the morning.
Is it good? I've never been before. We usually stay at Aguas.
It's so fun.
It's a good place to stay.
It's really fun. And the Guy Gerber's playing on a Sunday there now.
That we're arriving on the Sunday this time. So you think we should stay for
So we got there at 2 and we've booked beds. Don't bother with the restaurant. It's always got a minimum spend at the restaurant. And you've got a minimum spend. So we just booked 2 canopy beds that have 4 each in a row.
Yes.
And had sushi, rosé, whatever. And that was at 2. And then Guy Gerber starts playing at 5, I think it is. And then this was our last night and we were broken. So we didn't go out afterwards. Yeah. We were like 2 o'clock curfew tonight. That's it. So at 12:30 we left. But for lots of people, they were just getting going. But the great thing was we had this driver. I'll give you her details.
Brilliant.
I gave it to a friend the other day, but we used her before. And we walked out of Destina, we walked out of Pasha, and you just call her up. She's like, yeah, Georgia, I'm just coming around the corner. I mean, there are people everywhere. 30 seconds later, up pulls your...
Amazing.
And it's between you all, it's maybe 15% more expensive than a taxi.
Yeah.
But frankly, July...
So worth
in Ibiza, it is like,
for sure.
I mean, everywhere we went, so what you're saying, every single place, we didn't go to one place that we hadn't planned to go to.
Yeah, you have to. And I think there's kind of this thing of if you're going away for 40th or when I think with friends, you really need it to be on schedule. But people can always jib out of the schedule, but you need to have it there, especially somewhere like Ibiza, because it's hard to get into those restaurants.
Exactly.
I'm going to Heart this time. We've done Leo the last few times.
Oh,
we haven't done Heart.
But I love it because you pay 70 euros to get in, but you don't need VIP.
No,
whereas
it's amazing.
Pasha, on the other hand, that is really mortgage.
I'm over Pasha. Dare I even say that?
Oh,
it's really
such a fun night.
I don't know. I don't know if it's for me anymore. So when I got up, so I was a big Ibiza fan for years and years and years, and did it all kind of in the 20s and 30s. on more of the budget. And then my husband continued the partying, and I was like, nah, I'm over this, totally. And then we sort of discovered Aguas. I don't know if you know the hotel.
Yeah, I haven't stayed there, but yeah.
Yeah, and we stayed there for quite a few years. I thought, I like it, actually. We can go to a few nice restaurants. He can stay up a few nights a bit later. This is working for us. We can take the kids. And now I'm totally back into it, but on a totally different level, obviously. You know, I don't sort of, like, 2 o'clock, maybe three, is my curfew. But the Leo night, and actually Heart, which is meant to be the similar sort of thing, is great, because I think it doesn't mean sort of scrabbling around with everyone else and getting in a queue and,
no,
you know,
I can't, no, bleh. Sorry.
It's a civilised thing. It's age appropriate. I'm totally obsessed with age now. I'm 40 this year. Well, I'm obsessed with just moving on for myself personally, you know? I don't want to do what I was doing at 20. Mm. If you do, that's cool, but I don't. I'm happy to, you know, just turn the nozzle down ever so slightly, personally.
Just a little.
Until maybe it gets to 2 a.m, and then you can keep going till 4. But I love those nights that pops up in Ibiza, because it means you can stay somewhere nice, you can go there, yeah. You aren't just scrabbling around trying to get from place to place, walking down those cobbly streets with your heels on, not quite knowing where
yeah,
you're going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, so, no. I am in and out of Mercedes bus. That is it. But, and the other thing that, well, what we didn't do, which I think is great, is this year El Chiringuito are doing El Chiringuito nights.
I don't know this.
Have you been to El Chiringuito?
No.
Oh, my God, you've got to go to El Chiringuito if you've been all these years.
Tell me.
It's in a stunning beach with an amazing restaurant, but it's just super cool.
Need to write this
amazing
down.
Food. Yeah. So we loved it so much.
Lunch or dinner?
Well, we didn't do dinner, but we did lunch. But they now do El Chiringuito nights, which everyone's really like
cool,
thrilled that they're doing.
Brilliant. Because I have a gap for a night, so that can be my night.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the nights are like, but for a lunch, I think it's quite like Beach House.
Okay.
But I think more people kind of rave about it. I mean, we just loved it. So, any other gems that you recommend? Hard.
Where did we go last time? And actually, I think there are a few more. Is in Ibiza, in the old town, we went to Dispensia. Love Dispensia.
Yes.
So it's more low key, but if you don't want to have the big expensive night, it's very reasonable. It's also great for lunch. If you wanted to kind of go for a bit of a potter and then walk up to the castle, we've done lunch there and we also have done dinner there. And that's done so well. I think it only opened last year, or if not the year before, it's relatively new. They're now opening another couple, which aren't kind of cookie cutter, but are the
yes,
same.
I wish I'd been there. A few people have mentioned that. La Dispensa.
Oh, it's on your list. It's brilliant. Yeah. I think it's really good. And they sometimes do miss those kind of little mid-range sort of places.
So let's talk about TV. Are you a TV person, Nicola?
I am a TV person, but I am really hard to please. Actually, at the moment, the thing that I'm liking most, not super cool or anything, but is Life Swap. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, I lose myself.
Is it like Life Swap?
It's like Wife Swap, but it's Life Swap. And actually, I'm watching with my 9-year-old son. I love things that I can find now we can watch together. And it is exactly as you would imagine. You know, it's kind of burnt out exec in the city in London with everything that sounds good, but actually is just kind of draining him. Changes for a week or 2 weeks with someone in Alaska.
And their whole family? Oh,
wow. No, it's literally like Wife Swap, so the individual goes there. Like, but you know, for that kind of, I'm getting more into travelling and wanting to see a new place. I'm just becoming itchier. So it sort of itches that sort of scratch. Number one, and also I just and also I think it's good. It's nice to watch with my little boy, and I'm always dreaming of moving to a different place. So that's my new favourite series right now.
And are you watching Love Island? Because
no,
oh dear,
I know. I was going to say
it. Love Island.
I watched one and. No.
I'm actually starting.
Did you watch yesterday?
I did watch yesterday.
The mega twist at the end.
Twist. The mega twist. Yes, people coming back in. And
can
we just not muck
boot each other out?
Bring ourselves out. Nuts.
Can we not muck around with Sam coming back in? Because he's such a waste of space.
He is boring.
But can I just say that I'm starting to feel a bit anxious
about the end.
About what I'm going to do when it's over.
They're extending it.
What?
I'm sure it's going to be extended by 1 or 2 weeks on the grapevine.
Unless it's being extended for like the rest of my life, then it's good.
Why does it go on forever? And they can just take you out new ones in.
I don't remember life before.
Just a running thing. Mm. I didn't really either. And so we're what, about week 4 or 7? Ken said we're on the home straight, and I was like,
we are close.
Don't say these things.
When's it supposed to end?
I don't know the exact week.
End of July?
I'm sure it was only supposed to be like 7 weeks long or something like
Did
that.
Did you know you can apply for tickets to the final?
To find, yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
So if you don't see me one day, that's where I'll be.
Then you have to be in the background like, oh, cringy.
Fine.
You know, like when they have extras
on
tally.
I just really want to watch it every day. And I got up at 6:45 this morning to go to the gym, and it just gets me out of bed. It's really easy. I'm like, I can watch Love Island in the gym. I am off.
It is great when you've got that sort of thing and you're like, I can get that from a book as well. But it always sort of feels like there's a parallel life running to your life is, and you love it so much.
It's complete escapism. I think that's it.
Are you a big reader?
Big reader. I do love reading. Yeah.
What have you read recently that you would
recommend? I'm reading The Essex Serpent at the moment. Essex Serpent.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah. Isn't that Johnny?
I haven't watched it.
Very good.
Another Love Island reference.
I'm reading The Essex Serpent, which won loads of prizes.
Oh, right. And that, what's that about?
It's good. It's sort of fundamentally, it's quite complex.
Okay.
So it's about an Essex serpent, but actually sort of this sort of mythical kind of figure. And it's sort of set in the early 1900s and how everyone sort of approaches this. It's kind of a thinking book. But I like that. Have you ever read any of Sarah Waters' books?
No. I know the name. What's she written?
She's written...
I feel like I can picture her name on the cover.
Yeah, Velvet bleh, something. You might be able to Google it. For sort of early century books, they are proper page turners. I can veer between anything. Something historical, a bit of crime trash, a bit of Linda LaPlante.
Oh, I can like anything. I can't do the old ones.
I'm all over the place with books.
That's great, though.
Tell you what I'm reading. I'm reading Kat Marnell. Something like How Did I Fuck Up My Life?
Isn't it about like unfucking up yourself?
No, that's a different book.
Oh.
This is basically about a girl. It's a true story. It's an autobiography. A girl whose father was a psychiatrist and basically prescribed her with all this medication, like Ritalin or something.
Like behavioural drugs, yeah.
And she basically became a complete and utter junkie. Mm. But functioning. She went to school, college, not sure if she ever completed it. She's obviously very bright.
Is this a true story?
True story. Became a journalist, worked for Condé Nast. I think I'm 30% of the way through my book, but someone in the office was talking about it, and apparently, as her career went on, publications like Vice then started paying her to go and get high and go to the parties and document the effects of being high at, I don't know, New York Fashion Week.
I've read about this too.
Whatever it was. It's really harrowing. I'm finding it quite depressing. It's a very easy read, but I'm like 30% through. I'm like, she's fucked it up so badly already. I'm like, I've got 70% to go. I mean, where's it going to go from here?
I hear there's a book that everyone's talking about called A Little Life.
Yeah, we both read it last year.
I don't know if I can deal with advance.
Wait, what do you want to see say that? I would have loved it. I mean, it is depressing as hell.
Books, Charlotte.
I like dark. I like drugs, prisons, gangs, crime.
Yeah.
Parallel love.
You know me. love anything to do with the prison. I'm also reading that book set in El Paz in that prison. White Powder.
Marching Powder.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I'm listening to that on Audible actually. Because there's something about A Little Life that is I mean, the guy's like slitting his wrists every other page.
Okay, can't do that.
And it doesn't stop, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's more that I have a theory that all good books are depressing. There's no such thing as a book that's critically acclaimed that's really happy and jolly. Like, it doesn't exist. I know.
I
keep pushing this as something we should do as a feature.
Jane Austen.
It doesn't exist.
There we go. Jane Austen is crap. Jane Austen. No, it's not.
Jane Austen is Gossip Girl for the 1800s.
But now, if you don't have to have something that's critically acclaimed, right?
I like
kind of altering the pace with your reading. Sometimes you kind of feel like you need something that's going to really make you think, and sometimes you just want something like something. You know, that's why I like to kind of change it.
Read fiction. Totally, I mean, read.
Oh no, I mean fiction.
Read non-fiction then, because you know, take Alex Shulman's The Vogue Diaries, take DVF's book, or take House in the Sky about. Oh, that's quite depressing. She was captured by a Somalian terrorist.
Yeah.
But I think there are lots of
non-fiction
books.
Yeah, that is very true.
Ripping.
I would
think. Anyway, A Little Life, I would give it a, I would put a warning label on it.
Pick that warning label.
You are going to get into bed and go,
no, I don't need that.
Have I got the energy?
Do not need this.
Positive vibes only.
Yes.
Yes. But you're completely right. It's really.
It's draining. Someone I know, she put the book down and she just cried.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I can't deal with that.
I only cried at the end.
At the end?
Yeah.
Do you find, I was talking about this with a friend of mine the other day, do you find that you have to have a kind of like a book buddy, crap name, but the concept is, so I have loads of great friends all for different things, but I have a couple of friends who I know their taste and my taste is totally in sync.
100%.
So, I, you know, one of them is a girl who I used to work with sort of 15 years ago. And I always feel really proud because we say we're going to speak to each other or meet each other, and then I don't, but every few months I'll go, Deborah, hey.
Yeah,
I need you. Book a recommendation. Totally.
You're no good to me.
You have something to say about
them. Exactly, I feel really bad, but you do have to have that person, or maybe there's a couple in your life.
Your wavelength.
And when someone's got it wrong for you, they are out.
Well, we, Charlotte and I had a moment when we discovered that we were both reading the same book, which was quite nice. For me, it was anyway.
Yeah.
Because we were sitting in the pub and you were like, I'm reading this book.
Yeah.
Is it called A Little Life?
Yeah.
And anyway,
I think particularly something like that that's so heavy going, it's nice to have it.
And especially the book that you can't get out of your head, or the film you can't get out of your head. When no one's seen it, it's so annoying. Yes. So you want to be able to discuss it. Let's change the subject a little bit and talk about fashion. Well, let's talk about buying pre-owned. Nicola, do you ever buy or sell on Vestiaire Collective or Rebel or...
No, never.
Never?
No.
Why not? Because you don't have the stuff that you'd want to sell, or you haven't got time for it, or you wouldn't know how.
I wouldn't know how. I'm too lazy. I'm not that good. I'm better off with a couple of single pieces. No.
No, I don't either. I feel like I should. I mean, I've never even sold anything on eBay.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
So I think eBay is a bit of... eBay I find totally intimidating.
I've barely bought anything on eBay.
Yeah, no, I've never bought anything on eBay. I would never touch it. But I use the Vestiaire Collective app all the time to sell stuff. I have so much rubbish from my teenage year, you know, like...
But does anyone want rubbish?
It's rubbish that people will buy, like...
But it isn't rubbish, because to the normal person, it's probably actually very nice.
Sorry, but I mean things like a Marc Jacobs pair of sunglasses. You know, that kind of thing that you don't necessarily have need for, but you can still... It, instead of sitting in your drawer, you might as well... It honestly takes 3 minutes on the app. So you might as well sell it.
So I have this theory that it's rather nice of you to just give some really good bits sometimes to the charity shop. What if someone was walking along and then they just went, look, someone just put a Marc Jacobs top in there, you're doing a double nice thing.
Completely.
And I don't do enough nice things, and that's my nice thing. And also it alleviates the guilt of me having to do something like that and then deal with a person and picking it up and posting it.
Yeah,
it's a double win.
And I was listening to a podcast on Sunday that said there's nothing to clear out the mind than clearing out your house. There's nothing like clearing your house, clearing your mind.
Totally.
And
brilliant.
Sunday my husband took children's sailing and I spent the whole day. I mean, he's like, I'm surprised there's anything left in our house. You do it so often. But I do these clear outs, I go through every drawer, clean the cutlery drawer, you know, I'm so anal. But it feels so good. And I just can't be bothered. So I had one bag and I was like, some of that probably is quite nice, but it's just all going to the charity shop because I want it out.
Totally
get that. But the other thing is, from a financial perspective, so if you're done with something, then what is it called, upscaling, whatever it is. So like, we were talking the other day about the Louis Vuitton Neverfull. I mean, I know I'm not going to use that anymore. I sold it for £450. I mean, and it took like 1 minute. I undercut what everybody else was pricing theirs at. It sold, I'm not joking, in half an hour. And then suddenly I had, well, they take a 30% commission, so I had whatever, £350 in my account.
Yeah.
You know, like that, £300.
No, it is. And look, it's a great way to find a bargain. I thought this was a really good piece that we did with Rebel, and they just had some really good points. Like, if you're going to shop on these pre-owned sites, the best time to find a bargain is after Christmas, is in the new year. Especially when lots of people in the industry have gifted all this stuff that they then discreetly try and palm off. They suggested having a 1-in-3-out policy, which I thought was quite good, where for every 3 items you sell, you can buy one new special thing. Mm-hmm. So it is a good way, you know, if you're trying to save money of doing that. It said, which I thought was a good tip, I bought some sunglasses the other day and I just threw, I was on the go, I threw the box, I threw the label, I threw the everything. And they said, you know, you've got to keep all the original boxes, dust bags, cards, receipts, never cut out any care labels. That's the thing, I don't want to store all that rubbish.
Oh, but actually that anyway for its own,
no, I
those
don't.
Things own, I don't know, volition.
But they also said, don't always expect good discounts. The quality of brands like Chanel, Hermes and Celine means they retain their value well, so you will pay nearly full price, also for on-trend items like the Gucci fair loafers or Dior slingbacks.
So what are you looking for? But sorry, from a seller's perspective as well, so I have the fair Gucci loafers. I think I might sell them later in the year, because then I given that they are, like, you know, some people will still probably want them, I can probably essentially have rented them for £200 for a year, maybe. And then why not? And then I'll put them into whatever the next thing is.
I do know people that do. It is great.
It does make sense that
much.
It's so easy.
If you are, you have to be bothered about sort of 3 things simultaneously, don't you? You have to be bothered enough about the fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be bothered enough about the packaging and the boxing and storing and that sort of, and then you've got to be bothered enough about actually doing, putting it on the site and the pricing and all that sort of. So two different answers.
And the photography.
I fall down at point number one. I really do.
I
think, but I think if you aren't bothered enough, and if your personality lends itself to being able to do those 3 elements, it totally makes sense.
And when you want that, whatever the new Gucci fur loafers are, actually, and you're thinking, I don't have enough money in my salary to do it, that is the way to do it. I also thought there were some really nice tips on how to identify the real thing. Hopefully they've done it for you. That's the other thing I like about a Vestiaire or Rebelle, is that they've policed it so you don't end up with a fake. But you've got to look at the weight, the hardware, the logo, the lining, the stitching, all those bits and pieces, the dust bags, the chains, the details, serial numbers, etc. So if you are someone who's interested in buying and selling on pre-owned, then this was a really good checklist, I thought. We were talking about social media earlier, Nicola, and you said you're not a huge follower on social media, but you said there are a few bloggers, influencers who you follow and you feel like you get lots of your style advice from them. And we were talking about social media and whether you are a social media person or not, but I think you kind of summed it up there in that, you know, you're inspired by these people, that's why you follow them, and then you buy things, and that's why there is this now career as an influencer and why it's so powerful.
I think what's really the positives for me are that I think I find it really hard. So I live in the north of England, where so you don't, you know, get the ability to do that sort of tube stalking thing that I used to do when I lived down here as much. Or I used to work in magazines, so that was very easy. You would just sort of, you know, tell the fashion editor that you wanted to look those exact clothes. So that sort of has gone. And I think magazines, you know, sort of typical, the classic kind of magazine content, you know, so many of them are just so out there. And I think what they do is show you how to wear things in a very wearable way, don't they? You can think, she's basically my shape, she's basically my age, she's basically got my look. It's kind of almost, you've got through three stages, I suppose, of curation, if you
and
like.
And she's bringing it to life and you're seeing how
it's going. And I can click on the thing and buy it there and then. So I think from a very practical point of view, I do find it quite inspiring, but I think actually it sort of really hits it, you know, on the nose for me from a practical point of view.
And who are those, if people are thinking, I'd like to know who she's following, who are you following?
So the girl I really like the look of, but she is thinner and her clothes are more expensive than I would go for.
Always the way.
So if I start from her, is Fashion Bug Blog?
Yeah.
I love her. I love her. But I've made some mistakes with her as well, because I've even tried to get my hair cut like her.
Mega fan.
Yeah, mega fan. And, you know, and they've been like, okay, so she's about 20 shades lighter than you and she's got very fine hair and I've got hair like a Shetland pony, so that didn't work. And there's a few other things that I've kind of done wrong, but I love her. That's my ideal. But then actually, if you kind of come down to the realms of sort of, you know, reality, I like that. Does my bum look 40?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She's just, you know, I think
Kat, we like her.
Yeah,
she's great.
She does it.
She's
kind
such
of
a character as well.
Yeah.
Do you listen to her Insta
stories? I do.
She's normally in the car having a rant.
Yeah.
Her fingers together, getting quite irate about her children.
Totally. But you know, she'll just find a Marks and Spencer's dress that looks quite cool or something. You think, oh, I must get that. Or you know, she does another stories. It's more kind of brands that I'm, you know, I don't buy that many designer things. I buy bits and pieces, but she buys that more kind of mid-range.
Yeah, it's nice, exactly.
And I think, you know, she, you know, I know that we sort of told me not to say about the age thing. This is something that bothers me. It is.
And did have this one reader who said that one on the left is obsessed with talking about age.
Oh, really? I think you want to wear things that you feel kind of appropriate. And it's I'm 40, I've got two children, I'm living a life, you know, running it up and down, you know, the M1. Like, the things that are applicable to your life.
Yeah.
I think she sort of ticks that. So I don't feel I'm going to do something too mad or out there. I've got a friend who's got a blog called Wear and Wear.
Oh, yes.
She started doing, what she does is she'll just do like one cool top that'll go with your jeans. It's easy.
Yeah.
So I'd put her in that mid-range as well.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, there are few.
Oh, good. Let's talk about Marmite. Tor wrote a piece on the 8 surprising health benefits of Marmite. Love it or loathe it, Marmite is considered one of the healthiest things you can spread on your toast. Packed with vital vitamins and minerals, this store-cupboard essential can help with everything from boosting your heart health to beating insomnia. So, if you're not already a fan, here's why you should be. And it talked about it being packed with vitamins, it contains magnesium, so it can help you sleep, keep your heart healthy, it can cure a hangover. Good in pregnancy, which I thought was interesting, because I eat a lot of Marmite and I like it quite thick, and I was worried when I was pregnant if there was too much salt in it and therefore it was bad, but I guess with all these things it's about balance. It's also low in calories, although to me good Marmite requires butter or jam.
This is really weird
about the jam thing.
Really weird.
What do you mean?
So Marmite, would you just humour me, by the way,
and
try it?
Yeah.
Because Marmite and jam, you don't need any butter. Okay, jam's got high in sugar, but it's really good.
So what do you do? You put the jam in the Marmite?
The jam on first.
Like a scone.
And then the Marmite. But it'd be so interesting if we sat down and asked everyone in the office what's their weird combination. I had a friend at school who'd have a baked potato with bonsam. Do you remember bonsam?
I used to do that.
And chocolate. So, you know, everyone has something. Marmite's also great with with an apple. Again, okay. Try it. It is really good. But anyway, with jam. And the weird thing is that my parents are divorced, haven't lived with my dad forever. And we went to stay at some family friend's house in the summer a few years ago. We were sitting down having breakfast. And my dad goes, can you pass me the Marmite? He started putting it on his jam. I was like, no.
That's so weird.
God. I genuinely never knew he'd done that. So it's quite weird, isn't it?
But it's
really good.
I put it on pasta. That's my weird thing.
I know, I can believe that. Because it's like a yeast
extract. Oh my God, it's just like salty, bit of parmesan. Oh my God, it's literally, that is my ultimate comfort food. Because exactly that, it's just salty. It just makes the pasta's rich.
Delicious. Yeah, I can totally get that. But you put it in gravy, don't you, sometimes?
Yes.
Are you a Marmite lover, Nicola?
No, yeah. it's just a yuck from me.
Oh, you're like my husband.
No.
I have the lid off, and he's like, oh my God, put that stuff away. And I'm like, really? How long have we been together? Down. And you still make such a fuss about a pot of Marmite. His brother, to taunt him when he was little, used to smear it on door handles.
It's very sticky.
That's why he hated
it so much. He'd be like, get this stuff off me.
That's hilarious.
So do you let your children eat it if you don't like it?
I don't think we've ever had it in the house. I don't think anyone likes it.
We're depriving them.
Well, we like enough foods. I mean, it's like, you know, this is a healthy food. I like enough foods. Healthy foods, bad foods, all foods. I don't need another thing.
I've
got a really fussy eater. He's just a pain. Try and get him into anything good.
Oh, you're offering Marmite then.
Marmite, that's the answer. We don't have it.
No. Anyway, I was pleased to see there were
lots of health benefits. There's actually a new place in Finsbury Park that does a Marmite pizza.
Is there?
Yeah.
Marmite and cheese is a great combination.
It looks delicious. It looks delicious. I think Time Out did a video or something. It looks so good.
Oh,
that's
good.
Yeah,
we need to go. Tea Mountain. Marmite pizza. Only for Marmite lovers. Let's talk a bit about Neom and your huge, huge success that you've had with it. I remember when I started Sheer Luxe, and I think you had a couple of candles in the range.
Yes.
I mean, this is sort of probably nearly 11 years ago now.
It is. Yeah.
And God, what an amazing journey. It's such an overused word, isn't it? But, I mean, what an incredible brand it has become. And why did you set it up in the first place? So you worked in beauty, didn't you?
Well, no, not beauty so much. So I did work in magazines, but my last job was associate editor, so I kind of worked across a lot of the different departments. I actually did more in celebrity, than I did beauty. But, you know, magazines are a bit bigger than they are now, but you had sort of, you know, you were involved in all the different departments. Beauty was 10 feet from me, was fashion the other way, so it was a sort of holistic thing. And I began my well-being journey, if you like, when I just sort of was really feeling the pace of stress. And actually that was at 28, so yeah, that'll be right, we're into our 12th year now. I was 28 and I remember just starting with actually anxiety, which I battle now really badly. Battle's probably not the right word. I learned to live with it. And I just remember sort of looking around and thinking, God, you know, I'm 28 and yeah, I'm partying hard and, you know, burning the candle at both ends, but I haven't got kids yet and, you know, life's relatively easy, I think, compared to where it's going to go. And I'm just really sort of feeling it. And then I remember speaking to friends and if they weren't feeling the same thing, they were sort of, you know, suffering from poor sleep or mood boost or lack of energy. And it just sort of seemed like a kind of, you know, a proper modern malaise. And my anxiety was getting kind of worse and worse. Started having panic attacks. And I just kind of decided to look after myself. Now, people say, was there a light bulb moment? Not really. I don't think there was. I think I just sort of became interested and had a bit of a word with myself about, yeah, looking after myself on a very basic level. Not doing anything kind of crazy or different or finding out from some, you know, woman in some far end of London of a new way of living. Just
so what, did you start making products to combat your stress?
I trained in aromatherapy and I also trained in nutrition at the same time, so I became very interested in both things, and started to just really sort of clean up the way I was eating, clean up the way I was living, clean up the way I was doing exercise. So not just going and kind of powering it in the gym, but also thinking of other things that I could kind of do that were more about mind. And then became really interested in the little fragrances that I mix. Became interested in the power of aromatherapy. And I remember sort of early on, I made a blend for my husband actually when I was just trying out different things. And he is a sports teacher, I said to you before, he was a sports teacher, but he was hugely sporty, still is now. And he used to go and play football on the other side of London all day long. I mean, literally like kind of a, you know, 6 hour stint to come back to our house in Islington and have no energy to go out. And I was like, we're going out, we're going partying, come on. And I created him a blend that I would put in the bath when he came back and I would test and refine it every kind of week. And he was like, wow, this thing is amazing. You know,
I'm
you
ready.
Kind
I'm
of go. Get up and go juice, exactly. It's probably one
get
of the
up
best
and go juice.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Exactly. I mean, now we sort of very much market that towards, you know, frazzled mums or people sort of pre-sleep. But that was actually how I blended.
How is that?
It.
I love the sound of your get up and go juice. I like some. If I want to buy your get up and go juice, what is it?
We still
how
do
is
it
available
now? So that was one of our first fragrances. It was called Feel Refreshed and it's now sort of part of our Scent to Boost Your Energy collection. So actually our latest perfume that we brought out is a version of that in a fragrance. We do it in candles, we do it in mists, we do it in little kind of pulse points that you can carry in your handbag.
And
we
what's
do it,
it
in
called?
Hand balms. It's called Scent to Boost Your Energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm doing after this.
But that's how I sort of built it. And we were really, really focused on day one, that we were about well-being, but we were there to exist to help with stress, with poor sleep, you know, with boosting your energy, with lifting your mood. And I think we've remained really, really focused on that. So, you know, yes, we had a few candles when we met you first, but you know, now we've got sort of in excess of 120 products.
Incredible range.
They are all tailored towards those four pillars, if you like.
And that's what makes it so unique.
I think
and smells so,
so
amazing. I mean, it's a wonderful range. Talk to us about having a business partner. I know your business partner, Ollie. Anyway, I know your business partners. What's the key to success? Because I think you're not husband and wife, as lots of people probably ask you.
Yeah. We're closer in many ways than our own husband and wife.
But what's the key? Because, you know, people fall out. How do you make it work?
There's a few golden rules, I think. I think, first of all, choose a partner that has totally different skills to you. So many times I see people, and they go into business with a partner to share the load. I would totally disagree with doing it that way, because ultimately the load will be shared by people that work for you, and you'll just start bickering about things you have a different opinion on. So I know that Ollie's better than me on, you know, a couple of things, but he knows most of the time that I'm better
than
him.
Only a couple of Ollie's listening.
On a couple of things. And that's really important, because, you know, you sort of both own your thing. That's point one.
You respect that he knows about that, and he respects that you know about that.
And I think that's really, really important, right? So we argue a lot. I mean, honestly, if someone comes to work for us, I think they sometimes, they go through a bit of a period of thinking, oh God, like,
shit, is everything all right? Is this?
And then I have to sort of go, don't worry, we do this all the time, and then everyone else does. So there's never, it's unlike a marriage in that there's never anything left unsaid. Never.
So is that a rule? Don't leave anything unsaid?
Not a rule. We just do it. Okay. So, you know, if he is pissing me off, I can't wait 24 hours to tell him that. I have to tell him. It has to be out. If he thinks I'm wrong about something, or, you know, yesterday we were discussing something and he had his take on it, and I sort of thought, well, I'm not too sure about that. And I parked it for some maybe 4 hours, and then I'll text him at night going, I totally disagree because of X, Y, and Z. And then in that instance, we came around to my way of thinking. But everything is out there, you know? There's not anything that...
Like a sibling relationship.
Yes. Most people say when they come in that they've gone through a period of thinking, do they fancy each other? Do they, you know, is one in charge of the other? And then they generally come to the point of saying it's a brother and sister relationship. Although
Which
I have a child,
because you can be honest, and
I have a child with ginger hair, and he has ginger hair, and a husband who's very dark. And so we have a lot of people who go, "So your child, Charlie?" But we're kind of over that by now.
So the rules are to be open with each other, to have different skills.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're the main ones. I mean, you've got to have fun. Sometimes what you can... He's very good at, you know, if I'm down, he'll bring me up, and hopefully I'm kind of the same with him, although he's probably naturally a bit more upbeat person than I am. But I think sometimes we bring each other and go, let's make this fun. You know, we've got... It's become a bit serious. And actually, then we go, yeah, okay, and we sort of reset that. We've got to kind of be each other's champion a little bit.
Yeah.
It's really hard. You know it is. It takes a long time. And it took us a long time to make Niamh successful, a lot longer than I ever thought. I remember Nikki Kinnaird saying to me in the early days, it's sort of about year 9, where if it's going to become a proper brand that people know, you know, it'll be
I think that's such a key point to anyone wanting to start a business. Yeah. I mean, I think that's
but
the thing, isn't
it? But it used to be 3 years, didn't it?
We always joke that, you know, by year three, we thought we'd be, you know, in my seat drinking mojitos all day.
Same.
But actually, it just takes... Yeah. Take how long... I always say that to people. Take how long you... people say, I can support myself for X. It's like, take how long you think it's going to take, and then times it by 3.
Oh, totally. Then, totally with you. I mean, I remember her saying that to us, and then kind of walking away, me and Ollie kind of sniggering and going, oh, fuck that. We'll be there in 4 years.
Yeah.
You know? We'll put a little bit extra on because we're cautious like that. And it was kind of at year 9 when I think the traction really sort of started, and it flipped from us asking people to do things to people ringing us all the time. But, you know, year 9, and I was still earning less at year 9 than I was 9 years before. You know, that's the reality of it. It's...
takes time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. You now, nearly 12 years on, have children and a husband, and how do you juggle it?
Well, I mean, everyone...
I mean, so many women want to do their own thing and just wonder how they will.
I think, you know, juggling is kind of the key word, isn't it? You know, things are up in the air and they're never quite landed in a balanced place.
And everyone is, it's never perfect. Is there anything that you would say, actually, this is a little gem that really works in my life that might be useful for someone else?
Controversial, but I'd say find yourself a husband who's going to work in the plan. You know, Alice Sheryl Sandberg. My husband is a teacher. And, you know, he has the children in the holidays, and we work it as a team. I think, you know, if you think you can go off and do kind of like a little fun thing on your side whilst your husband just puts his head down and motors through a 60-hour week, that's going to make things 10 times harder. So you've got to think as a team, what do you both bring to the party? Mm-hmm. And that's a really key thing I always think when I talk to girls before they've got married. No, that's I think is really important. And I think, you know, my children, they're used to mummy being away and mummy working more hours than they are daddy, so that's fine, kind of alleviates the guilt a bit because they're with dad. You know, people say be present with your children when you're with them, but I'm really crap at that. My kids will be like, put the phone down.
It's obviously it makes sense in reality. We just don't always have that luxury, but that's a nice point on the husband. I like that one. It's a bit different. Of all the products you've created, if you had to pick one that's your favourite, what would you pick?
Well, it is different at different times of the year because that's the whole philosophy of the brand. So, you know, what I'm attracted to is the thing that I need. So what's really weird is when I go to people, can you just blow that candle out because I can't bear it? And they go, oh my God, do you really not like your own fragrance? I say, well, no, because I just don't need that right now. You know, I don't need a burst of energy or something. I need something to calm me.
So
or whatever.
Now, what's your favourite?
So right now, I actually am using our Great Day scrub, which is a real energising scrub. Our scrubs are amazing. If you haven't tried them, you know, I'll send them in for all of you. They're absolutely fantastic. They are literally the one-stop shop and leave you smelling kind of amazing for, you know, hours and hours all day after.
And if you were to pick three products that aren't your own,
oh God,
three beauty products that you just can't live without, that are in your makeup bag or your bathroom or whatever, what would they be?
Chanel mascara.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Definitely the best mascara.
Something was going out of stock, what would you run and buy?
Something's going out of stock.
Discontinued.
Do you know what? This sounds weird, but I really like this Burt's Bees lip balms.
Amazing. Yeah, a lot of people say they're
brilliant colours. They aren't full of any nasties, which try and veer away from, so they're really, really good. And I like Trilogy Rose Hip Oil for the face.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's really good. It's a really good staple.
And finally, what's new for Neon?
So I'm doing a series of events with John Lewis, which is pretty cool. We've got one tonight, and then we've got one next week in Oxford Street and Peter Jones. And it's me talking about wellbeing as a subject, and really kind of from our own point of view, our sort of small steps, big difference thing. So, you know, I'm not a wellbeing guru by any manner of means, but sort of we really fly the flag for, I suppose, the person on the street and how they can fit those little moments into their life. So I'm talking about that, and then we're going to do our scent discovery test on people in the audience where they can come up, tell us what they think they need, and then we find out, as we do in 80% of cases in our store, that actually your underlying wellbeing need is very different to what you thought. Which is really cool. And we've had some really interesting ones at the events that we've, the other John Lewis events that we've done, where people have come and gone, oh, I know, I just can't sleep, and it's like, actually, you aren't exerting yourself enough.
How do you establish what's actually wrong with it?
So we do a little scent test. It's very simple, but because our blends are so complex, you're drawn to the one that your body needs. Okay. So you'd be
drawn. That you're lacking. That's what they say, don't they, about oils.
Totally.
And so there's one tonight. They're going to have missed that by the time this podcast comes out, but there's one next week.
That's right. There's one next week.
And how do you find out? How do you get tickets?
You can go onto the John Lewis website, or you can go onto Neon Social. We'll be talking about it, where to go.
Okay. So if that sounds like it appeals, get onto the John Lewis website. Nicola, thank you so much for joining that. That's been great.
Good girly talk.
and that's it from this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please subscribe and rate us via iTunes. See you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.